So this is understanding your desire. A lot of people think, I don't have any desire. I do not want to binge. Now, some people do want to binge and they do find pleasure and enjoyment in binging. Some people don't. I would have told you in the past, I don't want to binge. I don't have any desire to binge, but that's not really true. Like, what I would ask you to really think about is why? Why do you want to binge or overeat? When you do, why do you? If you are still doing it, there's a part of you that wants to. So list all of the reasons. There are some questions here in the worksheet that you can go through and you can do for yourself. So you list all of the reasons that part of you thinks that they need to binge. So maybe it's like, I get to eat my favorite foods, or it's my time to relax. It's my escape from difficult emotions. I like the feeling of being really full. Those might be some reasons that for me, I would say that I was binging on foods that I was not allowing myself to eat otherwise. So it was my chance to eat the foods that were really kind of forbidden for me or off limits for me. It also for me was a time where I actually slowed down. Like I didn't see it as a time to relax, but when I looked back on it, I could see that I wasn't slowing down. I would be really tired or, you know, just need a break. And I would just keep pushing myself, pushing. And so the binge really served for me to slow down and to stop, because once I binge, I'm done, I'm out. So that's one thing to look at. Like, what is your desire still there? Because let me tell you this, if you have a desire to binge, some people just think fun, like it'll be fun. I know Coach Betsy, one of Coach Betsy's thoughts is this will be fun. That'll be fun. I just need a hit. My brain needs a little, you know, something. If you're thinking that on a regular basis, you're going to keep binging. Like, I mean, it just makes sense. If binging is appealing to you, if you are generating desire for that, it makes sense that you're going to keep binging. Here's another thing about it makes sense. One of the things within this program that I really try to put together, and as you look at this and as you're thinking about things, is how does this make sense? Oh, that makes sense. We can have so much more compassion for ourselves when it's like, oh my gosh, wow, I never thought of that, but it makes sense. It makes sense that I binged because I was thinking this. It makes sense that this happened. It makes sense that I started binging because this was my, you know, scenario or my situation. So that makes sense is such a powerful tool. So now, once you've been able to identify, like, why do you want to binge? Why do you want to overeat? What thoughts are generating that desire? Now, look at each of those things. And for each thing you listed, ask yourself, okay, what else is true? Now, I am not asking you to like convince yourself that it's not relaxing, or to convince yourself that, you know, whatever you wrote down, I'm not asking you to like convince yourself that it's not true, but I want you to give equal airtime, equal consideration for the other side of the coin, right? There's always the other side of the coin. And we need to look at the other side of the coin. Like, if I'm thinking that I get to eat my favorite foods, like these foods that I love, well, okay, what else is true? What else is true is that when I'm binging, okay, yes, I enjoy the first few bites a lot. And then I literally, number one, I don't enjoy it. I'm not enjoying it. I am so checked out, I'm not even tasting it. And the amount of foods that I'm eating is not enjoyable at all. So it's looking at that other side of it. Like, if Betsy's thinking, oh, that it's fun, binging is fun. Okay, well, let's look at the other side. Well, what's not fun? What's not fun is how you feel physically afterwards, the shame, the beat down, the way that, you know, you don't get your work done or you don't get your sleep or, you know, how it impacts your situation with your family or whatever. It's giving equal airtime to the other side. It just gives your chance to really yourself a chance to look at how am I creating a desire for this? Like, what thoughts do I still have? What thoughts do I still have there? And every one of you, if you still are doing it, it is serving some purpose. There is some place in you that has a desire to do it. So what is that? What thoughts are generating the desire? And then what else is true? So then when you think, and then what happens is when you think that thought again, so when Betsy thinks, oh, this will be fun, then she can also think, and it also won't be fun in an hour and 2 hours and 3 hours from now. So that this will be fun, that thought is going to come. It will keep coming. And then what you can do is when you look at that other side, you can add the and on top of it. And in an hour, it's not going to be so fun, right? So that's just a great way to kind of look at, really understand how are you generating desire for it and what is the other side. And when you really pay attention to that, when that thought, the thoughts that generate desire are thoughts that probably come up for you a lot, right? Like, ooh, I never get to eat this food. Ooh, you know, whatever it is, then you can do the and on the end of it. Because what we're trying to do here is unwind the desire. When we repeat, for me, repudiating binge eating, repudiate means to deem no longer necessary. Well, if the only way that I'm giving myself the foods that I really like, really enjoy is during a binge, guess what? Binging is going to keep being necessary because I'm going to keep wanting those foods, right? And so the way for me to deem it no longer, part of the way for me to deem it no longer necessary is to know that I can eat those things anytime that I want. And I'm going to enjoy the heck out of them until I'm not enjoying it anymore. And what do you know? I am able to eat so much less, to be so much more discerning about what I actually do eat because I've given myself that 100% permission. So then it's just kind of like looking at, okay, where is the desire still there? And how do I unwind that desire? So that is my new material for you. Okay, we've got some more Q&As. And let's see. Danielle says, I convince myself to finish whatever I am eating because it will help me avoid binging on it next time. Is this normal? Yes, 100%. It's very normal. That is one of your thoughts. So that is, as you go through the course, you can look at during the binge, one of your thoughts, one of your go-to thoughts is going to be like, all right, finishing this will help me avoid, you know, I have to finish this now, then I won't binge on it next time. One way that terminology a lot of people use is, I'll just get this out of my system, right? That probably sounds familiar to some of you. I'll just get this out of my system. Then we can look at, well, is that really true? Do you really get it out of your system? Do you really not binge on it again? So those are just kind of then some of the thoughts that you can look at and you can get curious about. Now these thoughts, like as you're unwinding it, you are still going to have these thoughts. You are still going to think, oh, we just have to finish this. Like, let's just get it out of our system. And so it's looking at the other side, what else is true, reminding yourself in those moments. But yes, it is a very, very normal thought. Ooh, this is a good question. So Christy says, listened to the restriction podcast you suggested. It was amazing. Is there more advice you can give for planning without restrictions, but with limitation? So yes. What I would do, there are a couple of different ways you can look at it. When you're looking at, let's say specifically, let's talk about foods and forbidden foods. I'm just going to assume here that we're just going to talk about forbidden foods because this is something that I think a lot of people can identify with. What I recommend is some people will kind of look and try to kind of like lift all the restrictions and all the rules and everything all at once. Sometimes that can be a little, it can almost be a little bit overwhelming, right? So what you can do is you can start with kind of one food at a time. It may be one specific food. It may be one category of food, right? But so you could start and just look at, like, if you're looking at kind of like all your food rules, what you might do is you might say, okay, you know what? I really love, I know that there's a Nobius woman who loved chocolate cake, and she wanted to have chocolate cake in her life. And so she basically just planned chocolate cake every single day. I think she might still eat chocolate cake every day. But what I, so what you can do is you can say, okay, if chocolate cake is your thing, then I would plan to have chocolate cake every single day. Plan it out. And then, and when you're doing it, when you're doing these foods, when you're bringing these foods in, one thing that's very important with all of your eating is eating mindfully, eating with intention. So looking at how you eat, there's some great calls and recordings within the course materials about secret eating, some of the thoughts around that. There's a lot of really good material around that. But what you might do is you might just pick one food that is kind of like something that's been forbidden, but you know you really love, and you know you actually end up binging on it because, like, what is the one thing that, like, you end up binging on because you forbid it, and it's something that, and start with that and really just plan that every day, bring that in, get really curious about it. There are a couple of worksheets in the helpful worksheets resources on the PMPtribe.com. There's the Fuck It Foods worksheet, which is amazing, that you can go through and really, like, as you are eating these foods, like, really pay very close attention to the taste and the texture and everything else. Anything that you bring in that has been a forbidden food, I recommend that you eat it very mindfully. You pay really close attention. Do I even love this food? What do I love about this food? Do the flavors change? How long until this food actually really isn't so amazing anymore? Become the scientist with your food. So that is, that's one way to do it. As far as, you know, if you're talking specific, you know, like one, say, specific forbidden foods. If you are somebody who, for example, only plans salads and, you know, thinks like, oh, I can never have a sandwich, then, you know, I would plan a sandwich. Plan, you know, like, planning, it's very much going to be dependent on, you know, each person. And this is where you can kind of ask yourself, like, what is realistic for me? What are areas where I think I am restricting? How can I bring that in? But with limitations, and you can absolutely bring things with it in with limitations in terms of just thinking about what you think might be a reasonable amount. You plan that, you see what comes up for you, see what comes up. What are you thinking? Are you able to stop? Are you still thinking? Do you end up binging on it? All of this just becomes data for then your next one. I can't give you any magic formula that's going to create the best plan that now it's just going to work for you tomorrow. Like, you have to be willing to experiment. You have to be willing to be the scientist of your own plans and just experiment. Now, just like a good scientist, though, you've got to limit your variables. If you bring a lot of different things in all at once, how are you going to know what worked and what didn't work, right? So I would, just like a scientist, you're going to limit your variables as you go through this process and as you see kind of what's happening, what are you thinking, how is it working, what else might you try? Posting in the Facebook group, I would really recommend, highly recommend going into the Facebook group and asking some of these questions. We have some people who have been through kind of this process and have done some great things. And what one person does might be very different than what's going to work for you. And I think that's one thing that's really important to know, is that you have to be able to trust yourself enough, or to even be willing to consider trusting yourself, to consider trusting that your body will guide you into what works and what doesn't work. And just because one person does it doesn't mean that's going to be your plan. Like, you have to become the scientist of your own plan and your own experience. But you have a lot of people here to be able to bounce ideas off of, and then just see what works. What works for you specifically is super important. Okay. What can we do when we think I might as well keep going? That's where is asking yourself that question. Okay. Well, why are you thinking I might as well keep going? Is it because I already messed up? And so that's a question that you can look at there. The companion guide gives you all kinds of thoughts that you probably are thinking, and then replacement thoughts that you can think. So you can also think even ask yourself the question, because questions also, again, can get that prefrontal cortex going. You can ask yourself, if I keep eating, how will I feel 2 hours from now, 3 hours from now? That's a good question that you can ask yourself. Like for me, I really like to remind myself of what it's going to feel like, kind of put myself into the future, knowing that the more I eat, the worse I'm going to feel, and the longer it's going to take to get me back to kind of, I would say, just my kind of general place. It's just going to take me that much longer if I can think through, kind of think into it. So Amanda asks, do you notice your binges are typically triggered by a particular thought/feeling, or can any thought or feeling trigger your binges? For me, there are definitely kind of patterns of, a lot of times what happens is, and this in the No BS course, Corinne does a great job of really explaining urges and how urges get formed. And so a lot of times they're connected to specific feeling. They can be connected to feelings. They can be connected to, and if it's connected to a feeling, then, you know, there's generally a thought behind that feeling. But if there's this, every time I'm sad, then I have an urge because I'm looking for comfort. I'm looking to feel better. It might be, you know, looking for energy. If you're physically tired, there might be, you can be triggered by specific locations. That it's really very, it's individual, but there are, I mean, to me, I wouldn't say any thought or feeling triggers a binge. I mean, I can now, because I have a lot of awareness, I can always find a thought or a feeling or a location or a connection as to what actually triggered it. Brand new and just completed the program this past weekend. Welcome. I'm really trying to be present with an urge and pause to notice how the urge feels in my body and what's the matter, love. I seem to have a pattern of rain at work in the afternoon, generally associated with feelings of helplessness/despair. This afternoon, I was having none of those thoughts or feelings, but here comes the rain. Can the rain come just because it's the right time in the right place, even when the triggering underlying thoughts and feels aren't there sometimes? So for you, Anonymous, if you're saying that, like you were talking about work, and it typically happens at work in the afternoon, even if you weren't feeling hopeless or despair, but it was at work at this specific time that in the past you have binged, that then is enough to be a trigger, right? That location and that time. So for me, for people who have been around for a while, like you all know, typically it rains for me on Mondays, and it can rain for me on Mondays for a number of different reasons. But, and my urges always come within like a 4-hour window. Like I don't have urges at night. I just don't. And so, there are the two components to urges. One is that habitual, like it can be connected to a time or a place, which sounds like for you today, even if you didn't have those underlying feelings and emotions, you still had that time and place. So, and then the second one is the, you know, emotions that might be tied to triggers. So what if thoughts about life or situations are creating the desire to binge? Will equal airtime help as well? Well, yeah. So it's the thoughts, those thoughts about life aren't creating the desire. Your thought that you want to escape that is creating the desire. So that's where I would look at the equal airtime. What else is true? Are you really escaping it? And the answer is, in that moment, you probably are. So, I mean, I would give that to you. Yes, you're escaping it. However, what else is true is that these situations aren't solved by you binging. They're still there. And now you have all of these other, you know, now you've got the physical discomfort and, you know, shame or judgment or whatever else comes for you at the end of a binge on top of your life situations. So it's looking at that side of it. And so now it's like, okay, a lot of us need to learn the skill to be with the emotions that we are trying to escape with a binge. That's the other side of this. There is the habitual side that we can look at. Then there's also the, I think I can't handle these emotions, therefore I binge to escape from them. However, we're not really escaping from them. In the moment, we are. There is an escape. There is a temporary escape. And then we add all of these other emotions on top of it. So we need to then, we can apply RAIN to those emotions themselves. We can learn what is the need. The true need underneath your desire is to be able to look at your life situation, to do the work there, see how you want to apply there, get out of victim mode about your life situation, look at what's going on there, start taking some action, start being willing to see where you do have control, where you can look at things, then that's kind of like looking at that as well. How do you manage when the thoughts come up and suggest stop, but there's an overriding defiance and sense of relief that shows up and trumps the conscious pause and the mindful brain? I definitely can relate to this, right? That where there can be that, like, you know, screw you, I'm doing it anyway, the kind of, you know, just like screw it, that real kind of like almost like toddler sense. And a lot of times that's where pressing pause, you know, it's like that's the can I just method can be really gentle. A lot of times the defiant, like I really look at sometimes when I have urges, there can be a different kind of a different part of me. We've talked about in the course, some inner child work, and you can look at kind of even almost the age of the age of the child that is looking for the food. So for me, when I get that defiance, that screw you, it's almost like my inner teenager. And, you know, my inner teenager doesn't really want to be reasoned with, but my inner teenager kind of wants to be heard. And so it's kind of been looking at, okay, when I'm in that place, what works, you know, can I just wait for 5 minutes? Can I just do something different? You know, even if there is a screw you, a defiance, can I do something different? Can I eat and do something differently? Can I make some sort of change in this process? Now, if you're having thoughts that say, stop this, if stop this is like, you're bad, you shouldn't be doing this, this is a terrible thing, you need to stop right now. Well, how do you think a teenager is going to respond to that? Screw you, I'm doing it anyway. And that's part of RAIN is looking at what's happening to you and within you from a very compassionate lens, instead of the, you're bad, you're doing a wrong thing, you know, and you shouldn't be eating right now. That's not what letting it RAIN looks like, whether, you know, that. And so it's looking at and adjusting the conversation that you're having with yourself internally. Somebody asks, do you think this course also would apply to binge drinking? Absolutely. This could apply to anything. So you could absolutely look at that as well. So somebody says, what if the reasons I started binging are painful and hard to look at? How do I move forward if I feel like I'm moving backwards answering the questions in the workbook? I feel defeated, like I'll never get any better. If My mind keeps asking, if I'm not broken, who am I? Who am I? So I would say for somebody who is, if it's very hard to look at and very painful to look at, there are a couple of things that you can do. Number one, I'm not asking you to like go back in time and rehash every single part of your history. But if you had a painful past and things that you didn't want to look at, of course you started binging. I mean, it makes sense, right? You learned, you taught yourself, you figured out that you could use food to escape all of those painful emotions. It makes a lot of sense. Like, that's not broken at all. That is a very, that is a brain and a person who figured out how to survive and how to manage in a situation that was very difficult. You don't have to go back and dig up all of that pain in order to heal your binging. But it's like, wow, if you can look at it without getting into the details, how does it make sense? How was my brain actually trying to protect me? And like, how powerful is that? So like, if you feel like you're moving backwards, answering the questions in the workbook, then, you don't have to get into all the details. But if it's like looking at, for me, like I can see where, even without getting into all of the details, it's like, oh, that makes sense. Like, how does it make sense? Oh, okay. That makes sense. Then you can move forward. Understanding it is really just a way of getting to that, oh, that makes sense. And really, I think if you had a painful background and you started binging, it makes sense. It makes sense that your brain was wanting to get away from those emotions. Now, for you, part of this process is going to be learning how to be with uncomfortable emotions without turning to food. And that's going to take some time. That's going to take some unwinding. We also talk within the course and some of the recordings about basically our nervous system. And a lot of us have learned how to use food to soothe our nervous system. And when things were really challenging or heightened, or, you know, we felt that kind of like fight or flight type of situation, you know, where we get triggered or whatever it is, we learn how to use food to kind of soothe our nervous system. And so what we have to do is we have to learn other tools and other skills in order to soothe our nervous system, because our nervous system does need to be able to get into that place where we can cope and we can be in life. I mean, we've all experienced where you're in that fight or flight place. You can't really do anything, right? Well, it makes sense then that, some of us have used food to do that. And so then part of the work also, and part of the unwinding also, is nurturing the need underneath. The need underneath is to be able to soothe your nervous system, to be able to be with uncomfortable emotions, even if it's just for a little bit longer than you have in the past. And that's part of why this is a journey and part of why this takes time, because it doesn't happen overnight, but it makes sense. It makes sense that you started binging, and it makes sense that even now, when these painful thoughts come up for you, you want to go back and do that. You don't have to go back into your past. Get to it makes sense, and now move forward to the thoughts that you're thinking now. You're thinking, I'm broken now, and that's what we need to look at. You're not broken at all. You are in a group of a whole lot of people whose brains did the exact same thing. And the great news is your brain is plastic. Your brain can be changed. Your brain can, we can rewire all of that. And that's, you know, this is part of the process, but it's a process. Somebody asks if they can watch the whole call on replay. And the answer is absolutely. The replay will be posted both online at the on the Resource Hub, as well as in the podcast player within 24 hours. So Kelly says, do you have any tips for questioning the all or nothing thinking? I have so many thoughts that are either I'm doing awesome today and eating on plan, or well, I ate that one thing, so now the day is over and all plans are off. How can I get off the all or nothing ride? Well, the first thing is to recognize that you are on the all or nothing ride. And for binge eaters, the all or nothing thinking is very common. It's very common for, it's very common because we're either totally on plan, we're doing great, we're doing amazing, or like we're not. And because, you know, we weren't perfect, then, you know, we might as well like, right. Like might as well just blown it, you know, that type of thinking. So to be able to recognize that black and white thinking is key. Like part of unwinding this is we have to become aware of our thinking. We have to become aware of our patterns of thinking. So just knowing that that is a pattern of thinking for you, you will also probably find that shows up in lots of areas of in your life, right? So it's not just food. You probably find that all or nothing thinking in a lot of other areas of your life. So the first thing really is to become aware of it, to become aware of what those thoughts are. Again, the companion guide is going to give you some good kind of replacement thoughts, some good things to think about. And that's part of the binge better process. We are not just either perfect or binging. We are finding the in-between. Well, and some of this, even for people in terms of like planning and realistic planning, is going to be, it's going to feel really uncomfortable to put things on your plan that you don't think are good enough, are perfect, will lead to, you know, the results that you want. But the reality is being willing to not have everything be perfect is actually the answer to not going into the, well, now everything is terrible. It's being okay with and recognizing the value in, you know, what sometimes we call B minus work. What if every single day you got a B minus on your plan and your, you know, your food journey, then that wouldn't be eating, you know, that wouldn't be binging. It would be just being able to, oh, well, yeah, I ate those cookies. I had that dessert I wasn't planning on. Now I can just move on. And that part of it is, can be some of the hardest parts of not allowing that brain to kind of just go into the, well, I might as well, I've already screwed up. But you know that is one of your thoughts. So then it's going to be looking through the materials, practicing, rehearsing, coming up with what are other things that you can think. There's, I mean, eating two cookies, if I keep eating that many more cookies, how is that any better? Like kind of even questioning, how does this make sense? Sometimes what our brain offers us, like, doesn't really make any sense at all. Like the whole, like, oh, well, I ate two cookies. Now I might as well go eat the whole box. Like, it's illogical. Does it even make sense? The answer is no. But in that moment, like we're just like, oh yeah, like, yeah, that makes sense. So I'm just going to go eat them all. But if we really just stop and start to question, does this really make sense? Does it really make, like, how is it even logical? My husband like laughs at me, you know, like, really? How does that make sense that, you know, you might as well go eat the whole box of cereal because you had a bowl of it, you know, like, how does that make sense? And then I'll say like, oh, well, it makes sense at the time. But when we can start questioning it, getting curious, not judging ourselves for it, not thinking that we screwed up, a lot of it comes back to that, like, curiosity, that asking questions, you know, really knowing what those thoughts are, starting to question them, allowing them to be there. And then, and I find a lot of times thinking through like, okay, when I can, when my prefrontal cortex is on board at the time and I can think through, all right, if I eat that whole box of cookies, how am I going to feel? That is really helping me to kind of think forward. My brain only cares about the immediate gratification. And if I can think about, what is this going to feel like 2 hours from now? Is it worth it? Sometimes that can give me enough pause. Um, Somebody asks, is binge eating more common with ladies that don't have much to lose? I am very overweight and rarely binge. Just wondering your thoughts. You know what? I have seen binge eating in people who don't have much weight to lose and people who have, you know, who are very overweight. It actually impacts all people, and all sizes. I've had many people comment that they, you know, they can't believe that I binge, just because of my size. And, you know, it can impact people for different reasons, but it's honestly, it's common really in all body types. Okay. Last question. And then let's go ahead and we'll do at least one live coaching, maybe two. Okay. Christy says, I'm working through your course for the second time and with new and more insightful eyes and heart and brain. That is awesome. I will say anybody who has already been through the course, if you go through the course again, you will absolutely, it's just like the No BS modules, right? Like you're hearing it with new experience, a new insight. You are going to hear things that you didn't hear last time. And so, you know, I highly recommend doing that. So that's great. Do you think it's too advanced to have the goal of lessening a certain amount of binges over a period of time, like the goal of 2 binges in a week, for instance? Is this also pandering to a restrictive mindset? No, actually, I don't think that's, I don't think that's a bad goal at all. You know, what you might do is some people like to, there are differing thoughts on tracking your binges, like binge-free days, right? Whether you track them, whether you don't track them. There are very different thoughts on that. For somebody who is a black and white thinker, if you track your binge-free days and let's say you go 12 days and then you binge and you think like, oh my gosh, now I've blown it, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then maybe you have 3 days in a row. That sometimes the tracking of the days can be, it all depends on how you think about it, right? The tracking itself isn't the problem. It's like what you're thinking about it. Now, the tracking can also really just provide you data. So I think I have been in both places with tracking them and not tracking them. I find for me now, like I like tracking my days because then I can just go back and see like, oh, interesting. Okay, look, I binged twice last month. And you know, or whatever it is. And I can kind of see like if there are patterns or whatever. So no, I don't think it's too advanced to work on lessening the number of binges or, you know, either whether it's the number of binges, whether it is, you could even like, you could have a goal to like lessen the amount. Like if you do decide to eat, that you eat less, that you, you know, do something differently in there. But I mean, I would say track it and just see what happens. See where your mind goes with it. Right. Because for some people it might set up some thoughts and for other people, it might not, but it's just like, just having the data, right. Having the data will then just give you information. For some people, tracking is super helpful. And for other people, it isn't. So I say play with it and then just see where your mind goes with it. And that's my thought. Okay. Let's see. I realize I didn't change my name. All right, Colleen, let's see if, let's bring Colleen on. We'll do a little live coaching and then. All right, Colleen. Show us your video. There you are. And all right. Can you say something so I can see if I can hear you? Colleen, her audio won't work. Okay. Her audio won't work. Bummer. All right. Sorry. So we're going to put you back. Anybody else? Change role to attendee. Anybody else want coaching? Raise your hand. All right. Lee, bringing you on. Hello.
Hi. I wasn't going to be coached, so this is a last minute thing.
All right.
So I live 30 kilometers away from a town where I shop, and I also go away one weekend a month to drop my son with his father over on the coast, which is 2.5 hours away, and I stay down there for the weekend while I wait for him. And my binge habit is that whenever I go away on the weekends, I go and stay by myself so that I can binge. And I don't want to. And I'm really struggling with the concept between feeling the binge versus fighting the binge, because I feel like while I'm trying to sit with the binge and feel it and not stress out about the feelings, I feel like I'm fighting it at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah. So tell me this, why do you say that when you go and you stay in this place because you want to binge while you're there. Yes.
The one thing I've realized through this process is that my binge habits started from domestic violence as a child and then as an adult in my long marriage, and molestation and rape. So there was all of that as well. And that got me through all those times. And I, as a child and then as an adult in my marriage and everything, I was rarely alone. I wasn't allowed to be alone. So I was very controlled in my marriage, and I think that it got to be a pattern that I fed all the feelings when I was alone. And now that I'm single, I have recognized that I do that. And compared to where I was 5 years ago or 6 years ago when I first separated, you know, there's been a huge learning journey, because I didn't realize I was in a domestic violence situation. I didn't realize how much I was controlled. I didn't realize how much even till the last 6 months, I'd never acknowledged my binging. So there's been a lot of learning, but I feel like I'm fighting it.
So tell me this, and we'll get to the fighting versus the feeling it, but I'm really curious about this. What's different for you when you're home, say with your son? You live with your son, right? So when you're home with your
there's
son,
there's my mom and two sons. Yeah.
Okay. So your mom and your two sons. So do you think that the desire to binge when you go, when you're by yourself, is it because you're by yourself and it's that, like, I have the opportunity now, I can do what I can't do when other people are around?
Very much. It's very much a feeding of, oh, thank God I'm away. yeah. And when I go shopping, again, it's 30K to go shopping if I'm alone, which isn't very often. I go cafe to cafe. And I, again, only in the last 6 months have become aware of that. And that's through this course that I started to see the pattern rather than just do it without thinking.
So do you think that are there, I'm curious as to what you think the emotion is that's tied to the being alone. Are there emotions that come up for you when you're alone that you're wanting to escape from? Or is there a part of you that actually just really likes to binge and wants to be able to do that, but can't when there are other people around?
It definitely comes from, there's two sides to it. One is the restrictive side to it, I'm trying to not eat the bad things or the things that I would binge on, and I don't have access to those where I live. So all of a sudden that's available. Right. The other one is there's a lot of loneliness because I don't have people that I can hang out with where I go. So there's that too.
Okay. So that makes so much sense then, right? We have one, foods, your forbidden foods are now accessible in a place where they're not accessible otherwise. And you are by yourself with your forbidden foods and you're feeling very alone and like there's no other companionship. So
correct.
Well, that makes so much sense, right? Of course.
It does.
Of course. And now, and so that's where I think we can look at, a lot of kind of a lot of different aspects of it. One thing I would really encourage you to do some exploration around is the kind of the alone feeling, the, what is that relationship that you have with yourself? What would it look like to have these days by your, like thinking about your future self, right? Your future self who doesn't even consider binging, who sees this day by herself as like, this is my me time. What does that look like? What is she thinking about? What is she doing? What would it look like for you to actually enjoy your own company rather than thinking of me being by myself, thinking of that as loneliness, thinking of it as me time. You know, if you're not with your sons, you're not with your mom, it's like, you don't have, and you're that far away from home, you don't have any responsibilities anywhere. It's like, wow, what are the possibilities? Like, what amazing things could you do for yourself? But if you're thinking, I'm alone and like, ooh, all of these foods that you don't allow yourself otherwise, like they're all available to you and you're feeling lonely and you've had these connections where you, when you make these drives, when you stay in this place, that's when you have binged. Like that all makes so much sense that you're going to have those connections. So I would do some journaling about future self, me time. What does that look like? Like, and how could you kind of like work your way to it? You know, not going from being in the hotel room binging to, you know, oh, I'm enlightened and I love myself and everything about it. Right. Like, you know, kind of, you can work yourself to like, what is one little thing I could try scientist wise? What's one little thing I could try next time to like actually make this really fun? Maybe you, I don't know, like I think about, like for me, like I love reading People magazine, but it's something I won't do unless I'm like on a plane, like on vacation, I will spend, you know, $6 or whatever for a People magazine. Yes. And it's just like, I love it. So, you know, like something like that, or, you know, you could just kind of like journal about that. The other thing that I would consider doing is, and I don't know if you have done this at all, but like while you're there, I would plan some of your forbidden food in a way of like, okay, you know what? I don't have access to these things and I really enjoy XYZ. I'm going to make this part of my day. Part of my me time is going to be getting this food, sitting with this food, enjoying this food, doing it in a way that's like me, myself, the experience, like really giving myself permission to be with this food because you like it, you want it. That's part of why you're eating. It's part of why you're eating it. You know, to me, like, I think it's fun to plan. I think it's fun to plan dessert. I think it's fun to plan, you know, treats that I'm going to have because I'm not thinking, oh my gosh, I'm not going to be able to control myself. I'm going to end up like eating the whole thing. I'm thinking, it's going to be amazing. Like, I love that piece of pie that I can get at that one place. So that you might give yourself permission to, and then again, it's kind of like that permission with limitations to go get, you know, one thing after you have like an amazing lunch that really nourishes yourself or whatever. Maybe then that afternoon you go and you buy the one thing that you really love and you sit with it, you savor it and you enjoy it. And then you have a plan. For right after that, I'm going to go for a walk. I'm going to check in with my accountability group. I'm going to, you know, whatever. And my brain is probably going to say, that was amazing. Now let's go eat these other 10 things because your brain's probably going to do that.
It's something I have been doing. Yeah.
Yeah. Good.
I think I'm successful about 60% of the time now trying that.
Yeah.
And then I think what I'm doing is the beat down when I'm not successful instead of celebrating the success.
What I would do is when you're not successful, okay, why? What was different? What was different this time than the time that I was successful? What was I thinking that was different? And what can I learn? What can I do better next time? Because honestly,
actually, I can nearly tell you why I'm not successful is because I decide that I'm not going to do it and I fight it. And then I go all in. So, yeah.
You're not going to do what you're not going to do.
I'm not going to do it this time. I'm going to be good. I'm not going to spend the money.
It's because you're thinking of it as a bad thing. I'm going to be good. I'm not going to do that terrible thing that I usually do. So it's like, how do we, so here's what I would look at is asking yourself the question, okay, what the binging is giving me a couple of things. The binging is giving me, I think the binging is giving me companionship. Mm-hmm. And I think the binging is giving me foods that I don't normally give myself that I really enjoy. So how can you give those things to yourself with full permission? Give yourself something that you truly enjoy. Develop companionship with yourself. Then those are the needs. Those are the needs that the binging is trying to meet, but it's not really meeting them.
Yes.
Right. So, but if you can then, but because you have all this awareness, which is amazing, I give you, you clearly have been doing a lot of work to have the awareness that you do, which is amazing. And now it's like, you know, the needs underneath. So how then do you take care of those needs? I mean, the great news is you're going to have lots of practice, right? You're absolutely going to have lots of practice.
Yeah.
So how do you then take care of those needs in another way? And what you'll find is if those needs are being taken care of, it will be easier to sit with and hear the brain, you know, suggest that you eat more. You know, you can, I would absolutely still advise thinking about it, you know, kind of visualizing what your brain might say, how you might respond and all of that. But if you're going in saying, I'm not going to do it, I'm going to be good, I'm not going to do this terrible thing.
Yeah.
You know, then of course, like that, you're automatically setting yourself up for to resist that.
These calls, like, you know, it's funny, you feel like you're drowning in it, and then you have these calls and you're like, you know what? I am doing it. I just don't do it for a while, and then I think I can't do it. And then now you're like, well, actually I can, and I have been. I just
Yes. Yes. I love the way that you just verbalize that, because it does, when you are in it, especially if you are in this time where it's like, you know, you've binged, whether you've binged once, whether you've binged for 4 days in a row, and it's like, you do feel like you're drowning in it. And when you are in it, it's hard to see. It's hard to see what's going on. And I think that's what's so, why I talk about being brave and getting into that Facebook group and sharing what's going on, is that it helps to be able to see somebody else, to be able to say, wow, look at what you're doing. Look at this awareness. Like, you are doing it. You have been doing it, even though you forgot. And like, your brain told you, oh, well, you're not doing it anymore. You were doing so great, but now you've screwed up. Now you've lost everything. Like, I mean, all the things. My brain does, my brain does the same thing. Right.
Yeah.
But it's like, wait a second. I am doing it, and I've been doing it this whole time. Just because, I mean, I will tell all of you, and this goes back to the question, Christy's question about tracking binges. Just because you have a binge does not mean you aren't doing the work. It does not mean you are backsliding. It does not mean you aren't unwinding the behavior and rewiring your brain. Like, I mean, and you guys know that I share a lot about my own personal experience, right? And I will probably tomorrow, I'll go in and share what happened with me today. You guys know it's Monday. It rains on Mondays. it rained today and my experience today was so different. And you know why? It's because of what the work I have been doing, which has mm-hmm. ended in binges several times. But today was different because of those binges, because of the processing afterwards, because of the learning and applying. And then as I was in this experience today, it was just like, I could see so many things so much more clearly. And then I was able to respond differently. But I had to have those other binges to get there. And I had to be willing to look at it, to do the work and all of that to, you know, really see what was happening there. So
The insight listening to other people's thought processes and even other people's questions and then thinking about how you would have answered that now versus before or whatever. But the insight listening to other people's brains work has just been extraordinary.
Yes, I totally agree. Really so been, for yeah, everybody yeah. listening, I really highly encourage you to get into the Facebook group and to just for everybody who has been sharing and just keep it up. It's just a treasure trove and just an amazing place.
Yeah. But I do know that I couldn't track mine. If I started tracking mine, it'd be like I'd give myself permission. So I can't do that. Not a thing for me. Yeah. So, yeah.
And it's amazing for you to know that for yourself, right? Mm. Everybody's journey is going to be different. And you know what? Tracking is not for me. And tracking wasn't for me for a while. And then now I've gotten really curious about it. Now I'm like, because when I do have one, I don't make it mean anything. I don't make it mean I blew my streak. I don't make it mean it's just like, okay, like that happened and now I have the data. But before I wasn't in a place to do that. And so each one of our journey, like what's great about this is we can take bits and pieces from what works for other people. And this is where it kind of comes back to that trusting and knowing yourself. Would that work for me? I don't know. Let's try it. Like even with, you know, planning or, you know, the whole conversation around restrictions or how do you, you know, let go of some of these other things, see what other people are doing, experiment and know some things are going to work for you and some aren't. So,
absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. So thank you. Thank you so much for your headspace. Thank you. Okay. Yeah, enjoy your day. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye. All right, everybody, that is what I have for you. Thank you so much for joining us, and we will see you again next month. Bye.